three stages to life. So first of all, we start out young, at least most of us do. And if you're young, you're cool. We then move on to what some people call middle age, what some people call life itself, and you become correct. And finally, you become senior, and then you are complete. So there you are, cool, correct, and complete. And we're going to look at the life of Caleb and to see him in these three stages, being cool, being correct, and being complete. And we're going to see him in three different books in the Old Testament. As a young man, well, 40, don't worry too much about the ages that are given in the Old Testament. We'll adjust them to fit into the cool, correct, and complete. So next slide, we have as a young man in Numbers. And then when he's middle-aged, in fact 80, he is complete, and that's in Joshua. And then when he's really a seriously old man, he's complete, and that is in Judges. So we're going to look at his life and see how he, at different stages, lived out the promise of these three, the cool, the correct, and the complete. How does Caleb measure up to that? Well, first of all, the cool, when he's young. And we've seen that video. We saw him as one of the two spies, 10 spies bad, 2 spies good. And there he is, one of the good spies. And when you're young and cool, it's a time of adventure and confidence. And I hope for all of you who are young, it really is a time to launch out adventure and confidence. These are the two things that when you have them and you experience them and you live them out, it's a great joy to yourself and it's a great benefit to the church. So living out your life as a young person, enjoying what God has for you, and really appreciating and benefiting and blessing others, that's what we like to see. And this verse that is from that time when Caleb silences the people, they're all worried because the 10 spies have told them it's a disaster, you shouldn't go into the promised land, you'll be eaten alive. And Caleb silences the people, and he says, we should go up and take possession of the land. And here are the key words, we can certainly do it. And I like that, adventure, confidence, we can certainly do it. We can make it happen. That's one of the things we like to hear. We can make it happen. And then he goes on a little later in the next chapter and says something again, very, very meaningful. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land. Now, what I pick up from this is the idea of obedience. Katie talked about this just now, about finding God in China really is the God of power, the God who is able to lead us. And it often is true that when we go out of our comfort zone, sometimes that may mean going to another country, sometimes it may mean going to another part of our own country. We experience something, we're put in a place where we have to trust because we're not supported by our family and by our friends. And sometimes that really helps when we're with people in another place, people of another ethnicity, maybe even people of another religion, and we're forced to rely not on ourselves, but on what God has. For me, living in a Hindu school at the age of 18 was the thing that brought me back to Christian roots and enabled me to trust the Lord at that time. And I think for many of us, this is the chance to experiment, the chance to go out, the chance to find and take God at his word. But a lot of it comes back to obedience. Do not rebel. And then also, do not be afraid. When we're faced with a troubling world, an uncertain world, a world where we read the newspapers and watch the television, we can be worried, we can be afraid. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of what faces us. And why not? Because, as it says later on in that verse, the Lord is with us. And it's that sense that Harold was talking about just now, that Katie, and indeed all of us, will be able from God's word, from the Bible, to hear God speaking to me as he takes a verse and just applies it in our own lives. And we feel, yes, this is not just written hundreds of years ago. This is actually pointing to me in my situation today. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with me. That's that great experience. And all of us need that at different times in our life, not just when we're young. We need to experience it at different times. The Lord is with me. Okay, that's the young, the cool. Now, what about the correct? I think the correct is the time when we have experience and wisdom. We've learned something. And this is what Caleb says to Joshua, who is the leader after Moses. They're in the promised land. And he says he wants to claim his inheritance. And I guess at middle age is a time when we do want to see the results of what has happened in the previous 20 or 30 years. We've invested, it may be our job, it may be our family, whatever it is, we've invested and now we want to see what are the results? What is it that we have done? And if we can say this, I have followed the Lord wholeheartedly. If we can look back on our youth, if we can look back on what has happened in the past and we can say, yes, I have been following the Lord wholeheartedly. What a precious thing that is. And it gives us confidence in facing what is around us. It also gives us confidence in doing what Caleb does here in claiming his inheritance. Because Moses says to him, this was the promise that he gave 40 years earlier, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance. This is something that you can claim. God has promised it, and you now can experience it. Because you have followed the Lord, my God, this is Moses speaking, wholeheartedly. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if all of us could say that wholeheartedly? Of course, we all know that many times we are swayed backwards and forwards. It's not easy to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. But I think it's the illustration of the compass. You know, when you've got a compass, it can swing around in any direction. If you bring it near a piece of metal, then it will automatically move off true. But when you take the compass, what is it that it ends up pointing to? It always ends up pointing to north. And if our lives are pointing to God, to pointing to Christ, to understanding what he's done for us, and then pointing back, whenever the compass turns to something else, whenever we're distracted, as we often are, where does the compass turn back to? I think that's what it means here, by following the Lord wholeheartedly. I'm sure Caleb in the desert must have had lots of troubles and temptations and difficulties. But the wholeheartedness is that the compass always turns back. The needle always returns to God. And he can say, I have served the Lord wholeheartedly. And he can receive that inheritance. So, correct, it's a time when we experience wisdom. We have the benefit of experience and we learn wisdom because we have followed. And finally, complete. And I guess I'm in the complete stage of life. Sometimes I'd like to think it's another stage, but certainly enjoying this. And I think in complete is a time when we have discernment and blessing. Discernment about others, discernment about who we can pass on the baton to. Like in a relay race where the first runner hands over the baton to the next person. And he's got to hand it on without it failing. If it falls to the floor, that team is out. Passing the baton, discernment, and also passing on blessing. We ourselves have received blessing through our lives, and we want to pass on that blessing to others. And I've chosen this passage, which is from Judges, the book of Judges. When they're in the promised land, they've defeated the enemies, as we found in Joshua, but now they need to claim their possession. And Caleb realizes he can no longer do it himself. And I think when you're complete, when you're at a senior stage, we know we don't have the energy, we can't do it all ourselves, and we've got to find someone else who will carry it on. And Caleb is in that situation, and he says, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures this place, which is part of his inheritance. Now, presumably, we never hear that Caleb had a son. So he's looking for someone who will marry his daughter and who will be a warrior to achieve what needs to happen. And Othniel captures it, and so he gets the bride. So he gives Aksa to Othniel, and she marries him. But what I find interesting is that later on in that chapter, in Judges chapter 1, it's Aksa, the daughter, who has the same faith that her father had. She's the daughter, but she possesses exactly what Caleb showed before, because she comes up and she says, I want a blessing. I want something. She's the cool in this story. She's the moment of youth. She just got married. She's been given land, but it's land in the Negev, which is dry. It's very hard to grow any crops there or to feed animals. So she needs water. And she's going to come to her father and say, Dad, I need, give me. And I think as we're older, it's a wonderful thing when our children do come to us and say, I want something, I need something. And it's a wonderful thing as a parent or as a grandparent to be able to pass that on to the next generation. Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs, gave her the water that she needed in order to sow the land, in order to have something fertile that would be used by her flocks, and so that she herself, in her married life, could bring up a family and they would have sufficient food. So there we have cool, correct, complete, the three, one might say, the three stages of life. And I believe that God wants us, whatever stage we're in, to enjoy that particular stage. If we're young, let us be cool. If we're middle-aged, let us be correct. And if we're seniors, let us be complete. Well, one final thought on this cool, correct, and complete. And I borrow this from a well-known preacher. He said, if you're cool, better to burn out than to rust out. Right? It's better to burn out for God than to rust out. But best of all, to last out. So the message here, whether we're cool, correct, or complete, is let us be energetic. Let us be faithful. Let us really do things to the utmost. Let us burn out rather than rust out. But best of all, let us last out. And as Katie takes on her new role, she's beginning that great experience of trusting God and seeing him move as her life progresses, as her ministry progresses. And it's not just for those of us who've been in quote-unquote full-time Christian work. It's the same for each one of us in our given situation. Let us be burning out for God. Let us be joyful. Let us be passionate. Let us give what we have. And let us finally, let us last out. I think it's a moment just to pray. Lord, we do thank you for this example of Caleb, who teaches us so much about being young, about being middle-aged, and about coming to senior years and to being fruitful in each of them. And may we, Lord, in our own sphere, in our own lives, may we be exactly like him. May we take that experience and make it real in our own lives, so that at the end we may say, yes, Lord, though we are unprofitable servants, we have done what you required of us. We have served, like David, our generation in the will of God, for the glory of your name. Amen.